Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. By Bhagwan's grace, today we have with us Professor Venkatraman again. And in the last few episodes of Vahini Satsang, we were discussing the 14th chapter of Prema Vahini. And today we'll move on to the 15th chapter. It's a fresh chapter and it's a short chapter. There is one topic that Swami is elaborating on, a very important one. So let us begin to listen to Swami with prayers at His lotus feet. Let's begin this episode of Prema Vahini, Chapter 15. So this is the first segment which I'll play now, and after that I'll play for you even the second segment, and then we will have the discussion.
Prati jeeviki prayana sadhana samskarame. Manavulu lokamuna aneka samskaramulato nindi unduta sarva sadharananga andariki telisina vishayame. Manavula valana aneka karyamulu jarugutunnavi. Attivi lekkimpaboyina oka dinamunaku నియమిత కాలమైన 24 గంటలకు మించిపోవుచున్నది. త్రాగుట, తినుట, వ్రాయుట, చదువుట, నడచుట, కూర్చొనుట ఇవియే కాక నానా విధాలైన స్వప్నములు, రాగద్వేషములు, మానాభిమానములు, సుఖదుఖములు ఇవ్విధముగా అంతులేక మానవునియందు కనిపించుచున్నవి. వీటన్నిటి సంస్కారములు మనస్సును అంటియేయున్నవి. అందువలన జీవితమనగా సంస్కార సంచయమే.
ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ అ కామన్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్ దట్ డిఫరెంట్ పీపుల్ హ్యావ్ వేరీడ్ సంస్కారాస్ ఆర్ క్వాలిటీస్. ఇట్ ఈస్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ దట్ మెనీ యాక్టివిటీస్ హ్యాపన్. దెర్ ఆర్ సో మెనీ ఇన్ నంబర్ దట్ సమ్ టైమ్స్ వీ మే ఫీల్ దట్ ద స్పాన్ ఆఫ్ 24 అవర్స్ ఈస్ టూ షార్ట్ ఫర్ వన్స్ డైలీ యాక్టివిటీస్. Not only drinking, eating, writing, reading, walking, sitting, but also dreaming, hating, boasting, praising, weeping, smiling, and so on. There is no end to one's activities. All these activities are because of man's samskaras, which are intimately attached to the mind. Thus, life is a collection of acts based on samskaras.
So that was the first segment. Let's now listen to the second segment of chapter 15.
Itti samskaramulu manchivaniyu chaddavaniyu rendu vidhamulu. Ee renti yokka parinamamulu manavuni jeevitamlo kanabadutune unnavi. Palaka meeda vrata cherigipoyinatlu balyapu panulu balyavastha అంతయు మరుపున పడిపోవును. ఈ జన్మమందు అనుభవించిన బాల్యావస్థయే మరపున పడినప్పుడు పూర్వజన్మ సంగతి గుర్తుండుట ఎట్లు సాధ్యము? అది అట్లుంచి ఈ జన్మమున మానవున కిన్ని జ్ఞాపకమందున్నవో అన్నియే జరిగినవని చెప్పలేరు. జరిగిన క్రియలు, వాటి వల్ల కలిగిన అనుభవములు అనేకం ఉన్నవి. అయితే ఆ క్రియలు, వాని అనుభవములు హరించిపోయి కడకు కొన్ని సంస్కారములు మాత్రము ఉండును. రాత్రి నిద్రించు సమయమున పగటి పనులు జ్ఞప్తికి తెప్పించుకునవలన నేనా, అన్నియు జ్ఞప్తికి రావు. బహుస్పష్టమైనవి, లోపల బాగుగా నాటుకుని పోయినవి ఇవి మాత్రమే ప్రధానంగా జ్ఞాపకమునకు వచ్చును. కాని చిన్నవి మొదలు పెద్దవాటి వరకు జరిగిన పనులు, మాటలు అన్నియు జ్ఞాపకమునకు రావు. ఈ విధముగా దినచర్య తెలుపుటకే చాలా వరకు మరుగుపరచి ముఖ్యంగా మనసుకు బాధ కలిగించినవో లేక సంతోషం కలిగించినవో రెండు మూడు మాత్రమే తెలుపుదిరే. ఇక వారం విషయాలు మరింత మరుపు ఇక నెలకు వర్షమునకు తెలుపవలెనన్నా ఆయా కాలములందు ముఖ్యంగా జరిగినవే మనసున స్పష్టమై మిగిలినవి అస్పష్టమైపోవును. ఇవియే సంస్కారములు. అనేక క్రియలు చేసి అనంతమైన జ్ఞానానుభవమును పొంది చివరకు మనస్సునందుండు సంస్కారములు ఎన్నియో ఉండవు. భిన్న భిన్నములైన కర్మలు భిన్న భిన్నములైన అనుభవములను కలిగించిపోవును. దృఢమైన ఏ నాలుగైదు సంస్కారములు మాత్రమే మిగిలి ఉండును. అవియే మానవుని మూలధనము.
There are two types of samskaras, good and bad. The effect of both can be continuously seen on man's life. Childhood and the acts done during that tender age fade away like the writing on a slate. When the events of one's own boyhood are thus consigned to oblivion, how can the events of the past life be retained in the memory? Leaving this point aside, it will also be wrong to infer that only those that are remembered have happened. The acts and experiences resulting from life's events are innumerable. However, with time, the acts and experiences melt away. What remains in the end is only samskaras. At bedtime, when you try to recollect the happenings of the day, not everything comes to your mind. While many acts and words, ranging from trivial to important, might have occurred, only certain events, which were significant and have a deep impact on you, come to the fore. When such is the case with the happenings of a single day, when we forget all events that are not associated with joy or pain, what shall be said of events of the last week, or month or years? Only the chief events are registered clearly. The rest turn hazy and recede and disappear. These few are the samskaras. You may perform innumerable deeds and acquire vast experience through knowledge. Different activities will leave you with different experiences. However, only four or five of them that are strong and deep-rooted get imprinted in your mind as samskaras. This becomes your principal capital.
So there is such a beautiful exposition, and it is so revealing, isn't it, Sai Prakash?
Yeah, this whole concept of samskaras is dealt with in this chapter, and even now I'm not very clear about what exactly it is. How, you know, a daily activity, like Swami says, sow an action, reap a habit, sow a habit, reap a tendency. That's
yes, finally goes to character.
Sow a tendency, reap a habit. I think that's how it goes. And that leads to character. And that's something which Swami has dealt with in the first chapter of Premavahini.
Yes.
In the first chapter of Premavahini, Swami starts with the same topic. And here Swami is again touching on this topic of samskaras. So, sir, we await some clarity on this topic.
Before I try to lead you to clarity,
yes,
I want to do one of two things. Either offer an earnest request or a stinging rebuke. See, I say this on the basis of trying to translate Swami's discourses. One of the things I tried was, I gave the Telugu text to people who know Telugu. I tried this in various places, both in India and Telugu-knowing people abroad. They just didn't get the flavor of it. And then, in a few cases, I took the Telugu text, and you and I have done at least Swami's letter. And when Sai Krishna was there, we tried to do certain things. I find when I listen to the Telugu, many of the words are not reflected in this.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And my concern is, we are offering what you call a pirated version of Prema Vahini in English. Since Prema Vahini is, in my belief, the most important of the Vahini, since the word Prema occurs here, even if you are, if it costs you some time and effort, if this is got back, then when the English is read out, it will be as close to the original as possible in terms of the theme of the original. It should not be a word by word. What is he trying to say? How do I tell it to the other person in the correct thing?
Absolutely.
Now, having said that, I've first tried to look at the word samskara. Then I found that this word, which is occurring here, is having a lot of interpretations. And Swami, in the book which I refer to often, doesn't make any reference to samskara there. It doesn't make any reference. But there were two clues for me. One was that I said before I look at samskaras, I must also look at the connection between action and what triggers your action. And what triggers your action are gunas.
Yes.
That is given in the Bhagavad Gita. It's a natural process of evolution. Now, if you look at us, we have a gross body which came from Prakriti. But there are powers in us which have come from the Atman. So there is something like a bridge. And the bridge has two ends. One end is Prakriti, other end is the Atman. And actually, some place he says this here, journey through life. So you are going from this side to that side. And the bridge is I will temporarily call it the mind. But the mind has two ends. The Prakriti end and the Atman end. This has been discussed in many ways and so on. But with respect to this, I would like to go back to Swami's 1993 discourses, which are very difficult to understand. Until I discovered this higher mind and lower mind have been discussed by Aurobindo.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. I struggled through a bit of Aurobindo. Then I got at least the hang of it. When you say lower mind, the lower mind is that part that is close to Prakriti.
Mm-hmm.
The higher mind is that part that is close to the Atman. So if you get out of the clutches of Prakriti and then you go to the higher mind, then you can sort of leave that and go on to become one with the Atman, which is the goal of life. You don't do it in one janma, you do it in many janmas. And here I would like to make a small digression. Swami has given ring all over the, from very early times. At a certain stage, he gave only three types of rings.
Mm-hmm.
One was a diamond ring, other was a green ring, sapphire ring.
Hmm.
Emerald, I think sapphire is some other color. Then the third is with that nine things, all of which will fall out very quickly.
Navaratna.
So, in one discourse he says, I give green rings to fellows who are dominated by anger and rajoguna.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I give diamond rings to those, and the message is, die mind, let the mind die.
Yes.
So mind is not going to die easily. So the whole thing here is, how do I dissolve the mind, leave the mind behind? That is the long and short of it. And then the for that, I must get involved in something where the mind is temporarily forgotten. Just to give an example, at least in the old days, when people came, they were all given tokens, and they will all rush to get a good seat and so on and so forth. Their focus is, Swami, he's going to come. When is he going to come? That is the sort of expectation. And during that expectation, you sort of unconsciously forget yourself. Okay? So, now at the end of the darshan, you begin to, I must rush to the canteen, otherwise, I've gone through all these things. That's why I'm telling you. So it stays and you forget. But this journey, which goes through many janmas, you have to make sure that you really erase the mind, because once the mind disappears and the body dies, the Atman is Atman. That is the whole point. And that is the theme which is spread across many discourses of Swami. And in this case, if you want the mind to be left behind, you must make the mind desire me more than anything else.
Yes.
Then that becomes a good karma. You see?
Correct.
So, the bad part of the heart disk is the lower mind. You first leave it and say, get lost. You come up to the end of the guna, sattva guna. But that is also not enough. You have to become a guna atita.
Yes.
Now, if you say guna atita, I have no time. I have to check the Facebook and all the things in these days. But if I really want God, that is where prema comes. First thing is, I must believe that God really loves me and wants me. He says, why are you suffering there? Come back to me. You know the famous story of Narayana cursing Narada to be born as a pig, and Narayana is disappointed. He says, what happened to you? He goes there, Narada is wallowing in a gutter. And you know, why should I come? I got all these things. It's a fantastic place. Those days, when I used to come from Hyderabad to put up with a bus. 1 o'clock in the morning, it will come to Karnool bus stand. And this won't get parking space. They will put it outside the big gutter. Lots of pigs eyes to see which one is.
No.
Okay. The point is, we become attached to the attractions of the world. So when you are eternal, why do you go on hankering after something that is not permanent? That is the long and short of it. Your destiny is there. So what I do is, once I have to cross that thing, and I live in this world, so all my tools have to be suitable for this world. I can't do anything. So I sort of say, I'll use the body and the lower mind to do jobs that will please. My objective is there. The apparatuses are here. So 1 foot left, 1 foot right. As Swami said in summer course, leave the left,
yes.
Step on the right.
Right, yes.
I remember in summer course he said, that is the long and short of it. And the only way is, whatever I do, I will do it for your pleasure. Mat karma, mat paramo, mat bhaksa. So, that is the prema part of it, must shine in whatever we say. That is getting lost everywhere. I am a great advocate for prema, though I don't know what prema is. What will I do to make Swami happy? That's whatever. See, I have got some residual responsibility despite my age. And the only reason I am sticking to that is, will Swami be happy if I abandon this and go? He is saying, yes, you will have difficulties. Who doesn't have difficulty? When I come as avatar, I have difficulties. Haven't you seen me? Are you willing to say, to hell with all that, I want to make you happy by saying, you have given me a moral responsibility. If I discharge it, even if I fail, I know you'll be happy. Because you're really looking at the quality of my effort.
Yes.
1 teaspoon full of cow's milk is, and all that we know. All that we quote. But when the time comes, no, I have to update my Facebook. So this goes on. That is prakriti. So we cannot complain about it. And this the last 17th chapter of the Gita, Sraddhatraya Vibhaga Yoga. Yoga is union with God. How do you go beyond this and become union with God? That is the message he gave. And Swami has given it in the context of this yoga. So that is what I want, and I think if this is translated and then you give commentaries, it becomes easier to follow.
No, definitely.
I have a feeling, if somebody says, I'll spend the next 1 year to hell with other things and do this, because this will become a reference thing. Then from there it can go to other languages. But if it is available in English, which I presume will continue for some more years, because now they got emoji and all that, I don't know what this is.
Well, the center that has just been opened for human values and all that research, this is one activity which they are very seriously looking into. So probably they will get few scholars.
That center has got what I call this agenda. But this translation, they may not have the staff to do it.
Yeah, that's what they will get people to.
No, we can't say that's your job. You are running the show, you have an obligation to.
In fact, I
did it like that to the extent possible.
Yes.
But it is needed.
In fact,
this must come from the heart. They will say we have got other things to do. So I am not going to run that. No. If the job comes from your heart, desire to do that comes from the heart, it will get done. Otherwise, you make the decision. Anybody says do this, they will do something else. All over the place this is happening. It's not just a unit. That's the nature of the mind.
Yes. One point which Swami is...
a fellow wants to make a movie. That comes from somewhere, that urge. That urge, most of them do, I want to be famous.
Correct.
I want to go down and say, I want to get this awards. That's a standard thing. Okay? But if I say, I want awards from God, that is a God I have not seen. I don't know whether God will have some big pile of files to clear. He may not even look at me.
One of the interesting perspectives here is, Swami says, life is filled with several activities. The mundane activities that everybody does. But a few of them stick in the mind. And then eventually they transform into samskaras. Because those are kind of impressions that are left in the mind. And he gives the analogy that in the course of a single day, you don't remember everything. But over a course of lifetime and several lifetimes, only few things, aspects stick with you. So my question is, that sometime back you were mentioning about gunas and actions. So basically it is desires. Now whether desires are driven by the gunas or the gunas are driven by the desires, I mean whether you say that somebody is sattvic or rajasic based on the kind of desires he has, or is it the other way around?
That's a good question. See, there are two things. Behavior.
Yes.
Action controls, is rooted in behavior.
Correct.
Behavior reflects the actions. Now, if you look at an animal, a crocodile, a tiger, let us say. If a tiger kills a man, you will say a tiger killed a man. You will never say a tiger murdered a man.
Correct.
Okay. So, what kind of a nut are you? So nobody will say that. We take it for granted. That is because the tiger is hardwired. It doesn't have a mind. It has a thing called brain, which is conditioned to respond to certain things. It is hardwired. It doesn't know right and wrong. It's what you call intrinsic gunas, which is needed for a living being. It consists of what you call a period of rest, that is sleep. Body needs sleep.
Correct.
Then it becomes very active. The active is when it goes and kills a deer or a cow or whatever it is. That is rajas in it. But the most interesting thing is, after the tiger has had its meal, it will be just sitting quiet. deer will be grazing nearby. That is the sattvic part of it.
Oh.
So the yes. body requires rest, sleep, and what you call calm. You just enjoy. The relax, mental relaxation. Now, in the case of a human being, since he has come from Prakriti, this maps on to the human being. But the human being has got a mind, which is not the physical brain. In fact, this is the big problem with biologists. They reduce the mind to the what you call the brain.
Yes.
And they call it a meat machine. And the, in philosophy, this is known as the mind-matter dilemma issue. Lots of things have been said about these things. But the mind is capable of things which the brain in an animal is not capable of. For example, it is the mind that helps me to realize that I exist. It is the mind that helps me to learn and build on it. If you take a tiger or a crocodile, which have lived long, long before humans, their habits have not changed. They live exactly the same. You may have some physical adaptation because of change of the environment and all that. But if you leave them to themselves, first of all, there is no way of transmitting the intelligence they have gathered.
Correct.
The humans are able to do it. First they did it with language before writing came. Then they wrote things. And then books appeared. And these books were added to. And so the collection goes on. So every generation is able to stand on the other people. These are things that the humans are able to do. Because they have got extra powers. And as Krishna says in the 10th chapter, among the senses, I am the mind. You are supposed to have 5 senses.
Yes.
No, sir, there is one more. It's not shown in your account book. And the power comes from me. So, now if you put a corrupt software there, then it will go on the wrong path. But you have to put the right path. But here what has happened is, because you have the mind and its power, you know this is good and this is bad. The tiger does not know what is good and bad. That those words don't exist in your dictionary. They exist. But at the same time, it is interesting that human law also recognizes that a mad person does not understand the difference between right and wrong. And sometimes you become temporarily mad because of sheer anger. So one of the things that comes in law is temporary madness leading to something. I forget the name. Laws of discrimination. In fact, there is a famous movie. It's a, John Stewart or I forget his name. He was temporary madness leading to insanity.
Hmm.
So he tries to prove that my client temporarily was mad and then this thing. Now they have psychological tests. Is he mentally sane? And so on. And there are provisions for dealing with those things. Therefore, the point is, the gunas will, when they get mapped onto the brain and the mind, they get magnified. They can do things which you cannot expect the lower animals to do.
Mm.
And in fact, the very fact that we have changed the world today, we are even causing climate change and so on and so forth, shows that there is a lot of power. How to use that power for doing good? So what Swami says, since you are here, loka samastha sukhino bhavatu, sarve jana sama, and then he changed it to samastha loka and all that. So he says, look, you are born in my image for a higher purpose. While staying here, do your work in this world, but thinking of me. Head in the forest,
hands in the society.
Hands in society. All these cliches are there. But at the end of that, if you and I are one, it means you have the roots of prema. I have the roots of prema. And prema must manifest through sacrifice. Love without prema is of no use. But
love without sacrifice
is worthless, fake currency. But sacrifice without love is impossible.
Yes.
I treat you as myself, so I sacrifice for you. So that's why Nilakanta and all that come. So I have a feeling that any work I am doing, I don't say this, why I have to cook in the canteen, why should I do this work and all that. If that is what you are destined for me, I'll make that my this thing for you. Like RGB in color TV, you can get all kinds of mixtures in gunas. Thousands of gunas you can get. Each person is different. Even biologically, no two cells are identical. Therefore, this is to be expected. The bottom line is, prema is the best route to me. And whatever you do, make it stand on the rock of prema. And that's all. It reach.
In fact, in one discourse, Swami says that to always walk in the path of truth, what you need is large-heartedness.
See, these are all sentences taken out of context. How do I explain it? I say you make a 5-minute documentary on this. You cannot do that. I must know the principle so well that whatever I am asked to do, I can apply my formula. That is what spirituality is about. And this samskaras, essentially the gunas of a past age become vasanas.
Yes.
And then they become samskaras. There can be good things you have done, there can be bad things. So it's really like an account book. For example, when I went to the general hospital, they gave me a notebook. Anytime I go to any doctor, they have to write whatever they did. And whenever I went, they will look at this, what is the past treatment. So did you do this? Are you having this problem because of that? And so on. So it is like an accounts passbook.
Correct.
When did you withdraw? When did you put? It's literally like that. It's a passbook where the credit and debit are all there.
Yes. And the net result of all this living and toiling is whatever comes to you, Swami says, at the last moment of your life.
No. That the way it is said is, when you die, whatever you think, prayana kale and all that,
yes.
Think of my name.
Yes.
So the story is, you go on chanting my name, and when you die, it will automatically come to you. That's what Gandhi said. It goes on as a background processing. When he shot, he didn't think anything. He said, "Hey Ram," that's all. That was very convincingly proved in that case. He said, it goes on. I may be doing short satyagraha, but that is going on. It has become a habit with me. And that is what Swami says. Unless you do that, I mean, in the case of that Ratnakara,
yes.
He got it wrong. But because he wanted to get the goal right, that wrong became right. And
correct.
All.
Mara, mara, mara.
And so, there is some meaning in that. That is why he said, Namasnanam, ni namame chelo, ni namame melo, and all that.
Mm.
So, why did we do that? We never asked that question. And then he said, what about some other name? So, you have this, jo naam chahe, wo naam bolo. Prem se bolo, bhav se bolo.
Correct.
So, we have all those things.
But the other aspect that Swami touches upon in this chapter is that of memory and impression that remains. So, he says certain things remain, certain things don't remain in your memory. In several other discourses, he has said that is the chit aspect of the mind. Mano, buddhi, chitta, ankara, chit aspect of the mind is where our memories reside. But a very interesting observation is that Swami's memory in the physical frame when he was here with us is beyond, you just can't comprehend because several years and decades before things which happened, even the smallest things he would just recount
yes.
in the flick, in an instant. I was thinking on this lines a few years back, and when I was reading the book Conversations with Sai Baba with Dr. John Hislop, There, Swami gives an explanation, so I thought it would be relevant here. He says, Krishna asks Arjuna. Arjuna says, why am I not able to achieve all this? He says, it's a matter of interest. All you need is interest. If you have the interest, you will achieve anything. He says, is it so simple? And he says, for example, what did you have when you were 5 years old or 6 years old? You won't remember. But you'll remember the day you got married. You'll remember several important events in your life, which will not leave your memory because you think they are important. And then Swami makes a very beautiful statement. He says, Lord Krishna told him, I'm interested in everything. So I know everything.
That is one way of looking at it. I'll catch on to the word important. If I simply say, what is important is to please you.
Exactly.
That is the long and short of it. So, if I want to do something in this world and I call that important, that is not really the important thing. For me, what is important is you. So, I have to do actions right. Since you are built for actions, can you make your actions right? So, the actions come in various ways. There are feelings. Feelings trigger thoughts. Thoughts come in the mind. And sometimes thoughts are expressed in words and action. Words is, I may say you are a great person and all that. Or I may abuse. So that comes from here. I may stab you or I may embrace you. That comes from the body. So, then what about feelings? The feelings go beyond the mind. Apraapya manasasa,
right,
beyond the mind. What is there beyond the mind? At the end of the story, I am beyond. Therefore, if your feelings originate from him, then you can forget about the rest of the thing. The Shruti is there. Even yes, need a steering wheel. If you go this way, you go this way. Counter, that's all. If you lose sight of that thing, that there exists something, and there also there is a point. If you take, for example, music. Music can be done in various ways, sung in various ways. I sing to show my scholarship. That is different. I want to get a Padma Shri, Padma Bhushan, whatever it is, this award, that award, get called to various places and all that. There is nothing. God doesn't have any value judgment. If that is what you want, you follow that, you will get the reward appropriate to that. I have nothing to do with this. I am neither on this side or that. I am beyond, literally speaking. I let you choose your path. But if you are really interested in me, I will help you. That's what it is. So, you have a famous, Haridas, isn't it? Who says,
Yes.
I sing for him. So I don't care for you, whatever you do. No. Famous stories. Any number of stories are there. And in fact, there is a lady called Janabai, who is celebrated in the Maharashtrian tradition. She was asked to grind a whole 50 bags of corn or something like that.
Yes.
She was just singing bhajans and just singing. Krishna comes and says, you move over, you sing for me while I grind. These stories tell you, if you really do that for me, forgetting yourself, I'll let you enjoy me while I do your job. That is the point. Now, you can take that into... In fact, there is one place I remember... Vishla Pas, Swami, I shave every day. What does that do to society and all that? Well, why you shave? Because when you go out, you want people to think that you are a nice fellow. Okay? Otherwise, you may look like a drunkard. Many people do. They don't bother. Hippies and all that. And then everybody smiles at you, smile at them and say, well, that is Swami, he likes what I am doing. You can always hang it on some peg which is related to me.
Correct.
That's the whole point. One of the most important thing is duty. Duty is mandatory. I do this because this is my duty. God expects me to do duty in order to support dharma. I can, if I'm a doctor, I follow the doctor's. If I am something else, I follow this. And those things are brought out very nicely in the Ramayana. Rama plays many roles and he discharges his duty in the right way. It's a worked example. And Krishna says, following your Swadharma is your duty. And Swami says, Swadharma cannot be just floating. It has a basis. That's the basis is Atmadharma. So, when you look round and round, ultimately the thing, formula is very simple. Look at me and come near me. I'm reminded of a movie, Princess and the Pirates. Two fellows are in a boat. It's in the Pacific. And he says, hey, where are we going? Look at the compass. He says, I threw the compass. He said, why? You are supposed to go south. The compass is always showing north. So, yes. That is what is happening. Yes. Supposing I do this, will I get called to some, to speak in some samiti, or will I get a foreign trip, somebody call me. So, that is the whole point.
Yes.
The Prakriti's bonds are very strong. She will not leave you.
Yes.
That's what Krishna says. But you have to come beyond her.
Yes.
Because I am beyond Prakriti. Prakriti came from me.
And talking about this Prakriti's bonds being so strong, there is one Chinnakatha that Swami narrates from the life of Jesus. And apparently once Jesus was walking in the streets and he saw a man rolling in the dirt. So he went to him and he woke him up and he said, what are you doing here? Why are you wasting your precious youth in this dirt? And this man replies, Master, I was a leper. It is you who cured me of leprosy. Now I am fine, so what else should I do? Then Jesus goes to another street and there he sees another person. And this person was pursuing a lady. And he goes, he catches hold of him and he says, what are you doing? Why are you polluting your body? And he says, Master, you don't remember me. I was blind. It is you who gave me eyes. But now, you know, now that I've got back my eyes, then what do you expect me to do? Same thing happens. He goes to another street and there is another old man crying bitterly. And so he touches him and he consoles him and he says, why are you crying? And he says, Master, you know what? I was nearly dead. It is you who gave me life. And now I have become very old and I have so many problems. So what else do you expect me to do? I mean, this was, I feel, one example of how strong these samskaras, these vasanas.
No, it's not a question of strong also. You see, I can tell you something. I did not learn much from society because I was in a transition generation. Nobody told me many things. This is not the way to do this thing. That is the fault of society. In fact, in America, they have what is called commencement ceremony. The graduation, convocation takes place after a new batch has come. They call it commencement.
Yes.
And then that fellow says, young graduates, I'm going to give you bad news. I'm not going to tell you do this and that. My generation has messed up society. Your generation is to clean up. Good luck and goodbye. That is true. I did not know many things because there was no system in society that could educate me. You see, in the school, we had a way of life which was very different. 1947-49, I studied in Ramakrishna, 46 in Besant School. So there were teachers and we did what they did. That's all. We were told and we got some idea. But when you come to a certain age, you must be given more instructions. And that didn't quite happen. But meanwhile, society started changing very fast. And we just did not know where to go. And all the people who knew this died. And they took away the knowledge. It remained very divine. We had nothing. So that is why I am very keen that we, you and I, are belonging to a linked generation. I have seen Swami And I have seen him through the prism of my experiences, right from 1932, when we did not have many things. We were under British rule. There was no guarantee that we are going to become independent. Nobody knew it was going to happen. Whereas you have seen, coming from the school and all that, good, bad, indifferent, we have seen Swami, we have heard him and all that. And how do people conduct themselves in the future, if we can leave behind some repository of guidelines? For example, if Prema Vahini is translated, and say, let us look at Prema Vahini, how to apply it in today's world. That becomes very useful. There is a great worry which I have. We are stuck with a lot of nuclear weapons. A lot of things have happened which are too horrible to talk about. Accidents. If one of those accidents had been not an accident but lethal accident, God knows what would have happened.
You have given an elaborate talk on this.
Yeah, I worry about that. And one of the things that when the Soviet Union collapsed, one man went from America. He said we should not have missiles in silos with nuclear weapons. They are sitting there in the dungeon. Some mad fellow may do something. Whereas if it is planes, it will take some time to go, and so on. These things are quite worrisome. And once you do that, there will be hell to pay. So we have a huge responsibility. And that is where one man said, even Einstein said it, the problem, David Bohm also said it, the mind is very good at solving problems it has not created. It is very bad at solving problems which has created. The more it tries to solve the problem, the worse it will make. And Einstein put it differently. It is impossible to find a solution to a problem at the level of consciousness at which it exists.
Yes.
You have to go to a higher level to solve a lower level problem.
Yes.
And when you have to go above the mind.
Yes.
That is the lesson. And that people don't understand.
In fact, earlier when you were talking about duty being the essence of Swami's teachings and of the Bhagavad Gita, I was reminded of a conversation recently I had with Mrs. Josna Reddy, is the wife of Mr. Raja Reddy. And she was studying Sanskrit. She was talking about her early days, the initial encounters with Swami. And so they see Swami in Mumbai, and then Swami asks her, what are you studying? And she says, I'm doing bachelor's in Sanskrit, and tomorrow is my exam. And she says, what is your exam? He says, Swami, the exam is on Bhagavad Gita. And Swami says, okay, what is Bhagavad Gita? What is the essence of Bhagavad Gita? And she thought she knows Sanskrit, and she rattled out something. And Swami said, no. Swami then said, Bhagavad Gita means the dharma.
Mama dharma.
Mama dharma. So Swami gives that explanation. And Swami says, okay, what is dharma? Tell what is dharma. And she again gives something, and Swami says, no, dharma is... she says, Swami, it is all these religions. You know, many times people think about dharma as all these religions. Mm-hmm. Of course, Sanskrit also has, every word has so many meanings. And Swami says, no, dharma is duty. It is duty with love. That is what is dharma. And of course, then Swami goes on to ask her one particular shloka. I don't remember the exact shloka. And she narrates some, she rattles out, and Swami says, no, this is not the meaning. And Swami gives the correct explanation. Next day she goes to the examination hall, and she sees that this is the shloka that is there as the first question. And then, what is the essence of Bhagavad Gita? So she gets distinction.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, that is just a story. But, the other incident, I was remembering as Prakash, when you were talking about Bhagavan's life also, is I remember this occasion when Swami came, and there was one program that was the boys had planned. But Swami, after he came for darshan and he took the darshan rounds, he went into the interview room, and he was there almost till bhajan started, and after that he went for bhajans. And then after the bhajans, suddenly Swami looked at the boys, and he came after the aarti, and everything was over. Everyone thought Swami is leaving, retiring. And Swami came and he sat and he saw the entire program actually. Mm-hmm. After that, the warden went to Swami. He said, Swami, for the boy's sake, for our sake, Swami, you have taken so much shrama, Swami.
Mm-hmm.
So much trouble you have taken. And Swami says, Idi shrama kadu bangaru, it is prema. Idi prema.
Mm-hmm.
That is what his life is all about. And as sir also constantly stresses.
Once I remember, a certain gentleman, I don't think he's alive now, but they all occupy high positions. He said, I had read something in the book, some book. And then he said to me, you know, in that talk, Swami quoted from that book. He had never read it. No. I just kept quiet. I didn't answer. Today, if I were to say, my dear fellow, if you can create this whole universe, including you and me, do you mean to say he cannot do that? And the other thing that you remember what is important. You don't give importance to certain things. So, once I pinpoint a few things and I can develop from it, then I am safe. If you look at mathematics, geometry starts with hypothesis, which came from Euclid. Euclid starts with an hypothesis, which was later on called Playfair's axiom. Essentially, it means I will do geometry of a two-dimensional, right? From that, Euclid derives theorems. Once that is there, I can generate, apply logic. And in the books, they will give you what they call problems based on these theorems. That is amplifying it. So, one can be made into meaning. But on the other hand, in the liar world, you must also understand how to make many into one. That is the whole of aim of spirituality. So, when people say, Chandar Surat tumne banaya, the Nadiya Sagar, what the hell, I say, the whole cosmos, I know what the cosmos from cosmology and all that. When you look at that, I say, it's just mind-boggling. It's just absolutely mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm.
So, we have to, I would like to put him at the highest level and see him. If you keep here, then you will not grow out.
Yes.
That's the whole problem. So, what is the difference between others and him? When he would say, Krishna said this, and at one point he will say, I said this.
Yes.
Correct.
This has happened very silently in many places.
Yes.
And he had the authoritative voice, and you could feel that voice. Are you able to feel that? No. So I have to say, right now when we do things like this, we have to put him in that framework and view these things.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, we will end up with what I call peripheral thing, X said this, Y said this, you know. But what does he want us to do?
In fact, the first discourse in the Satisai Speaks, which is recorded, I think, in 56 or so. 53. 53.
Yes.
So there Swami says, I'm giving a talk now. It may be new for you, but it is not new for me. Although it is not in this incarnation, in this body.
Yes.
But I have given many such talks.
Wow.
I read it somewhere in 1963. Swami says, in those days he used to say Divyatma Swarupalara and all that. Then he says, people ask me, so why don't you say, my dear devotees? He said, look, people ask me, today I'm going to give you the answer. When I sent you into this world, I put a piece of the Atma in you. I personally packed it and sent it to you. So I'm very sure of that. Divyatma Swaruplara. The devotees, you call yourself devotees. How do I know you're a devotee? I didn't know about this. I read it much later. In those days, every birthday is to be in the stadium.
Yes.
So I went there, I was sitting, one outsider sitting outside, and Swami came in. And then he started saying, he says, Intamandu naru okka devotee lede.
He
said, come on, Swami, give me a break. Literally. Then he says, I didn't know what he was saying. Basically, he was saying the same thing.
Yes.
Because he his description of devotee, yes, he has given it in the 12th chapter. Yomat Bhakta Samyapriya. That is the kind of devotee, yes, I like. He has given the specifications and all that. So, those are very hard to see. But Mat Karma, Mat Paramo, Mat Bhakta, he says, do it for me, I am the ultimate boss. So, and then I must have the ultimate fate. That even if I am ruined, I don't blame you or anything. Apparently there was one incident. Some Kerala lady, I think, they were going in a car. Everyone in the car perished, she did not die. Everybody abused, you go to Sai Baba and all that. He says, he has nothing to do with this, he came. He had perfect faith. Okay, what has happened, but it has torn you away from them. Your attachment to them is gone now. So we don't know what he has. So I don't, and why does Swami say, how do I know? Go and ask him. That's what I say.
Even Mr. James Sinclair, I think, he had a similar family tragedy when he was coming, but he was way above
that. Right here I interviewed,
yes,
him. Yes, right in this. It was a video.
Yes, yes. In fact, on the same lines, I also recall Professor Kasturi. In fact, the Christmas day is when Professor Kasturi also was born. Christmas day is Professor Kasturi's birthday. And if you look at his life, you know, here one very powerful thought that Swami, that to me is a very powerful thought, what comes out here is, you know, we might have done a million things in our life, but ultimately, when you look back, you know, there are only five or six very, very telling impressions. And Swami says, that is what life is all about. You might have done so many things, but all that amounts to nothing. It is only those five, six very, very, incidents which have left very strong impressions.
So I want
impressions
to interrupt here because the clock is going on me. Yes. I'll put both of your questions. How long are we going to talk about incidents and what are we going to do about Prema Vahini? You can back from the next
We talk. Can start tomorrow, sir. We are very,
okay,
very...
Today it's very late, your time.
We can start right now.
No, the simple way is, we regret to inform you, Professor Venkatraman is not keeping well. We wish him a speedy recovery.
And no, it would be a
very
great
soon
excess.
People will forget you. That's a very easy way of saying. The pink slip is always given on Friday evening. Monday you don't come. That's it.
But in this very hall, as we said, Swami, when he came in 2002, he gave a lot of importance on translation. In fact, in a very detailed way, Swami said, mananam cheskuni, tarvata translate cheyali. He said, do mananam
that
and
is
then...
very important. One day in Purnachandra Hall, when I was going, he told me, chudu, appudu nenu emo cheptanu, please, aakshanam kadu. Bhavishyam ko adhyatmika vishayame pettu baki enni teesesu. He told me, put his hand and said very clearly. See, that day somebody, vice chancellor comes, he said he was a great man and all that. Oh, no, he's a greater man. Nothing to do. I had a practical difficulty because in discourses, he was saying some 600 crores are coming and all that. So every discourse he was saying 600 crores. Now, okay, he said that some people heard it, that's different. But I said that I'll take it out in the recording that we keep. He said, I will have to say things on the, these are the samayam sandarpam. But leave only the spiritual content. That I remember very well. So I said, look, if I have to do this, is what I do. And I must place it so that people in all circumstances can. For example, there is one big issue now. They have abolished, eliminated smallpox, not abolished. Now, you know, people don't go for smallpox vaccination. It's not even, people don't know that there is such a thing. But they have kept the smallpox virus in two places, one in Russia and one in America. It is supposed to be a safe word. There have been a lot of demand to destroy that. Just burn it with a high temperature fire. Some people say, no, no, that virus does not live. It has to plant itself in some living being so that it can cause mischief. That data is needed and all those things. And that becomes a problem. Who has to decide on this? So society has also a duty. It is not as if just you and I. Society has a duty. Just as the body has to look after the organs and organs work for the body, that loop was intuitively accepted, but it was not codified properly. The duty of society to the individual has been only discussed by Swami. I have not seen anybody do
yes.
that.
The golden chain that you always talk about, Vasti Samasti.
Yes. So what yes, today the question I ask is, what is the role we must play in society? And this question is becoming very important because social inequity is very high.
Yes.
And who is going to look after the downtrodden? That if you don't do, then there will be chaos and you will be swallowed by that chaos.
Yes.
So there, and we are walking around with nuclear weapons which are enormously disastrous. So it's really a moral dilemma problem.
And the solution, as you mentioned, it we have to think from a higher consciousness, and ultimately, it boils down to love in some way. It everything comes back to duty
Prema,
with love.
Not love.
Yeah. Actually, yes. Ideally, that is very right what you said, because one thing about Swami's discourses is, you have so many Sanskrit words in Swami's discourses, and to find appropriate words for them in English is quite a challenge. Because
very rightly, Palkewala said, the word dharma
yes.
is impossible to translate.
Yes.
But what he said was, historians are amazed how with a strong central authority, without a strong central authority, for India survived as a moral society for thousands of years. That was because people followed dharma. That's the way
yes.
he put it there.
Yes.
And so, the dharma is eternal, and therefore we have to make sure that thing, spirit, is maintained at all times by all people in whatever way they have to do this. And today we have to see, just to give an example, Francis Collins says, the human brain is the most precious thing, complicated thing, the whole universe.
Yes.
And fellows go around on motorbike with a thing here like this, and they look at the front tire because this will, that's something ridiculous. We don't even value the life that has been given to us.
Mm.
That's the problem.
This is a lot of introspection that all of us have to do. The entire generation has to do.
I hope people listen to this.
Whomever Swami wants, it should reach, it will reach. So dear listeners, with that, I think time is running out and we have to bring this discussion to a close. Next session, we will move on to the next chapter, chapter 16 of Prema Vahini. So if you have the chance to go through this text, please read the contents, and if you have any questions on chapter 16, please feel free to send them to us. We'll probably take those questions up and we can ask Professor Venkatraman to share his thoughts on your questions. So with that, it's time to wind up this day-long Thursday Live. Thank you so much for being with us. As always, if you have any queries or comments, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. With prayers to Bhagwan and gratitude at his feet for giving us this amazing opportunity to think about him and to ruminate on his message, we bring this session to a close. Thank you so much. Sairam.